Gene Mann from NERA, and I'll be giving some of the presentation along with my colleague Chantal Lacasse. And to start out, Brian Crow from PICO is going to give an introduction and a review of the background that the regulatory situation that has now led up to this RFP to put things in context. So we'll start out with Brian.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Brian Crow. I'm the Vice President of Energy Acquisition at PICO. I know a lot of the faces in this room, some of whom I worked with before and others who are new, so I'll try to introduce myself at the break or whatever just so we can know who everybody is. But I'm glad everybody's here today. We're looking forward to the procurement and just wanted to walk through really a little bit of the background of where we are. And you'll see the disclaimer statement here about the governing documents in this RFP or the full requirements, RFP rules, and the block energy RFP rules, which were posted on March 10th. The full requirements supply master agreement and block energy supply master agreement also posted on March 10th. And the Pennsylvania Public Utility Commission's decisions related to PICO's petition for approval of its default service program and rate mitigation plan. The docket number is there, and for the record, it's P2008-206-2739. And all the information related to this is on our website, which is www.picoprocurement.com. We're going to go through a regulatory background, and then we're going to turn it over to NERA to go through the RFP process, the design of the products, the qualifications and bidding process, the post-RFP process, and then talk a little bit more about the website. As many folks know, Pennsylvania restructured its electric industry in 97 as a result of a law passed and signed by Governor Ridge in 96. As a result of that, there were rate caps that were imposed. The generation rate caps extended through December 31st, 2010. We'll talk a little about the T&D rate caps, which were separate in a bit. But basically, the power purchase agreement, as a result of that settlement covering the period from that time through December 31st of 2010, that 12-year period, it was with Exelon Generation, which is an affiliate of PICO, to provide PICO's default service at the prices in that agreement. So on September 10th, 2008, PICO filed an initial procurement plan with the PUC to begin to plan to supply its default service customers beginning in January 2011. So again, these are the customers who will not be shopping. We've had shopping in the past, depending on where folks were relative to our prices that were set out early on. We had a lot of shopping, and many folks are probably familiar with that and the processes we used. But we are moving then towards default service provided by not PICO's affiliate directly under the agreement, moving towards this competitive market. So as part of that, we filed on March 10th with the other parties a joint petition for settlement of PICO's plan. And the PUC approved that on April 16th. So in terms of the Competition Act, many folks are familiar with this. Just allowed customers to choose their electric suppliers, caused us to unbundle our rates into separate generation, transmission, and distribution components. We separated the generation and distribution functions, and that's been in effect, again, since the beginning of the restructuring settlement, and then put in the transitional rate caps, and I highlight the word transitional rate caps. So the rates were fixed for certain periods of time, approved by the PUC. Again, transitional, they're not meant to be permanent. And our distribution, our T&D rate caps, expired as part of that settlement on December 31st, 2006. So they haven't changed since then, but that rate cap did expire at that time, again, separate from the December 31st, 2010 date for generation. One other thing that's more recent, so we went through a lot of the history of what happened and implementing the settlement, but more recently, the Pennsylvania legislature passed Act 129, which is Energy Efficiency and Conservation Programs, became effective in November 14th of 2008, and under that, electric distribution companies must file energy efficiency and conservation plans with the PUC. And then we have to do that by July 1st, and then by November 1st, the PUC must act on the plan. So we've got a little overlap of what we're doing here with these plans, the approval of the plans, and putting those into place. The requirements are really around the consumption in terms of energy efficiency. The consumption must be reduced by a minimum of 1%, and the base for June 1st, 2009 to May 31st, 2010 for that period, and the consumption decrease of 3% again by May 31st of 2013 for that same period. Also, the demand portion of it is that for the highest 100 hours in the period June 1st, 2007, May 31st, 2008 is the baseline, that the demand must be reduced by a minimum of 4.5% of that highest 100 hours. Act 129 also mandated smart metering. You can see the wording there, but it basically required that electric distribution companies with greater than 100,000 customers to submit for the PUC approval a smart meter technology procurement and installation plan. Obviously, PECO, with the number of customers it has, falls into this plan. That plan has to be filed with the commission by August 14th of 2009, and PECO is in the process of developing that plan to file with the commission by the due date of August 14th, 2009. And PECO will provide, you know, this filed information to the winning bidders as part of this process. So let's just talk about, and before we turn over, NERA, role of NERA as the independent evaluator. The goal is really to ensure a transparent process for the solicitation. And as part of that, PECO has hired NERA to be the third-party independent evaluator for the solicitations. NERA's role is to be the main point of contact with the bidders, to ensure the RFP process and rules as approved by the PUC are followed as approved, to ensure the bidder qualifications are evaluated equitably and fairly, and to evaluate bids on a price-only basis and then present the results to the PUC. So I will turn it over then to Chantal. Oh, come back up. Okay, great.
Okay, thank you, Brian.
Okay, I'll start out with an overview of the RFP process. First, just giving a little background about PECO. It's an electric and natural gas utility, a subsidiary of Exelon, serving 1.6 million electric customers. With respect to default service, as Brian said, PECO currently provides electric generation services to customers through the contract with Exelon. It provides service to all customers in its service territory who don't elect to take service from a third-party electric generation supplier, and also all customers who return to service after being served by an EGS. It's called default service, a provider of last resort. And when the rate caps expire, in connection with Act 129, PECO is going to retain this responsibility. And the purpose of this RFP is to procure power to meet this obligation to provide the default service. That power is going to be procured on a class basis rather than on an overall system basis. And the procurements will be distinct procurements for four different classes. Classes are groupings of rate schedules, and we'll have a small commercial class, which is the non-residential customers who are less than 100 kW of demand. Medium commercial, which are the non-residentials between 100 and 500 kW. And then the large C&I class, which are the non-residential customers over 500 kW. Additionally, the fourth procurement class will be the residential customers. Now, for these classes, they're going to have a different mix in terms of the types of products as well as the supply periods or the duration of the supply periods. There's going to be purchases of both full requirements products and block energy products. With respect to full requirements products, suppliers have to serve a defined percentage of the procurement class load, and either on a fixed price basis or with energy priced to the spot market. And we'll get into that in a little more detail later. There'll be a certain amount of these percentages or tranches that are bought fixed priced, and a certain amount for each class that will be, or a certain amount for the non-residential classes that will be bought on a spot price basis. The delivery periods start January 2011. They all terminate in May, so they synchronize with the PJM year. Block energy will be bought on a baseload basis, as well as for the summer peak and winter peak periods, and it will be bought in a constant delivery pattern, a dollar per megawatt hour basis, either a 5x16 schedule or a 7x24 schedule for the base load. I'm going on the next slide to describe a little more about the PECO share, but PECO will be serving 25% of the residential load, which is called the PECO share, and 20% of the overall residential expected default service load will be bought as block energy, and it will go towards serving that PECO share. With respect to the blocks, the delivery periods are calendar year, so they'll start in January and end on in December. The product mix is shown graphically on this slide. And for the residential class, there's 75% will be procured on a full requirements basis through the RFP process. 25% of the residential load will be provided and served by PECO as the PECO share. And the block purchases will fit in to serve that 25% of the load. Small commercial class will have 90% full requirement fixed price, 10% full requirements spot priced energy, medium commercial 85-15, and large commercial is a little different. Rather than having a defined mix, the large commercial C&I class is going to have a subscription price process for fixed price. Customers who opt in will be served under the fixed price option. Customers who don't opt into that will be served under the spot price option. So it's not a fixed percentage reported there. The residential class, I'll elaborate a little further. We have the PECO share at 25%, the full requirements share at 75%. So the PECO share, 20% of the expected energy requirements will be purchased as block energy, again, as baseload, summer, and winter on peak. In this solicitation, we're going to be purchasing just baseload block energy. The other 5% of the energy requirement for that 25% PECO share would be balancing energy purchased through the spot market. Additionally, PECO would be fully responsible for serving that 25% of load. So PECO would supply the capacity, the ancillary service, and the AEPS requirements. For the 75% that's purchased on a full requirements on a fixed price basis, it will be bought through the RFP with 45% purchased under two-year contracts, 30% purchased under one-year contracts. Now, two-year contracts and one-year contracts really mean 17-month contracts and 29-month contracts, as they'll start in January and then run through the following May. Small commercial class, again, 90% full requirements fixed price, 20% under 2 year, 70% under 1 year, with the same qualification of January through May, and then 10% full requirements priced to the spot market. So the supplier will be responsible for providing the same full requirements, energy, capacity, ancillaries, and AEPS requirements, and will be, we'll get into a little more detail on the exact structure of the contract later, but would be compensated for energy based upon how the spot market for energy fluctuates. Same thing is true for the medium commercial. It's just 15% full requirements will be spot, 85% will be fixed, and the entire supply would be 1 year, no 2 year contracts for the medium commercial class. With respect to the large commercial and industrial, again, it's a customer opt-in, so its full requirements on a fixed price basis will be solicited. Customers will opt into that service once they can see the price. They'll all be 1 year contracts. Customers will be free to switch out of this service after they opt in, but not free to come back to the service. The full requirement service based to the spot market, again, 1 year contracts, and the amount of customers there will be based upon customers not served by the fixed price option. So large commercial and industrial customers who don't go for the fixed price option will have their default service option be a spot option only, and then customers who opt in for the fixed price option but opt out for an EGS, if they subsequently return, will have to return to the spot price option. Procurement schedule, we'll talk about next. The default service program term is 29 months. Now, what that means is that the default service program starts January 2011, ends May 2013. So supply contracts have to have a start date before June 1, 2013. Anything with a start date after June 1, 2013 would be covered as part of the next default service program. There'll be multiple solicitations under the default service program, 6 for the full requirements RFP, and then 8 for the block energy RFP. And the website has a full schedule of those solicitations. With respect to this solicitation, the spring 2009 solicitation, it's the first solicitation. The schedules are, our bidder information session is today. The other key dates to keep in mind are the Part 1 date. That's when you have to submit your Part 1 application, and it is May 27th. The Part 2 date, which is June 9th. The bid date, bids are due on the 15th, and then the commission decision, which will be on Wednesday, June 17th. Just a quick overview of what's necessary in the Part 1 application or the qualification. In connection with that, prospective bidders have to supply information for a creditworthiness assessment, have to provide the information that will enable the independent evaluator, will prepare the guarantee based on the information that is provided, as well as the supply master agreement. There's an option to submit requests to modify the letter of credit, both the pre-bid and post-bid. And in other circumstances, there could be drafts of different documents, for example, agency agreements if needed. So that information has to be provided with the Part 1 application. In the Part 2 application, bidders have to submit a signed SMA, a signed guarantee, and an executed pre-bid letter of credit. Again, some bidders may have to submit additional documents. Now, the PUC approval process, the RFP results are contingent on final PUC approval. The independent evaluator, the day after the bids are received, by 10 a.m. the next morning, on the day after the bid date, will submit a report on the winning bids to the PUC. Then on the next day, within 1 day of receiving that information and report, the PUC will issue a decision on accepting or rejecting the bids. Okay, that's the overview. I'm going to move on to just provide a little more detail on the product design. And of course, the supplier master agreements are on the website, and you can review the supplier master agreements as well. But again, with respect to full requirement service, it includes energy, capacity, ancillary services, any transmission other than network transmission services. PECO will be providing the network transmission service for all customers. And it includes AEPS requirements. They'll be defined in the they're defined in the rules. It'll be defined in the contract. And as I'll get into a little bit later, PECO will be giving a fixed amount of AEPS credits to winning suppliers. But the supplier will be responsible for meeting the AEPS requirements that are in effect at the time of the bid. A supplier for a class supplies a fixed percentage of actual default service load for that class. So that means the sales and demand varies with weather, with economic growth, and with migration to or from EGSs. The supplier has to provide a percentage of whatever the default load is after factoring in all those considerations. Fixed price default service under the full requirements contracts will be compensated and bid at a single dollar per megawatt hour. Spot price default service, energy will be priced at the PJM day ahead spot market price for the PECO zone. The supplier will be paid that. Capacity will be priced at the final zonal capacity price for RPM. And then ancillary services, AEPS costs, any other costs of providing the service will be reflected in the bid price, which will be a dollar per megawatt hour price. The full requirements fixed price default service load, again, it's divided into tranches. And a tranche in a class represents a fixed percentage of the default service load for that class. So here we have, for example, the default service load for the residential class is 3163 megawatts. That's the load of the total eligible retail customers are in there. The total and it would be as of the time the filing was made by PECO. The fixed price PLC related to that load is 2372.25. So that gets divided into 47 tranches, 1.6% of the load, and they're each at the current time would be about 50 megawatts absent any migration. But the basic definition of that residential fixed price tranche is that it is 1.6% of the residential default service load, whatever that is at the time that the supplier is buying service. The percentage is really the key defining factor here. And you can see the numbers for the small, medium commercial. As I discussed before, the large commercial will really depend upon the customers opting in. And as we go through this in the next slide, you'll see that the small and medium commercial numbers will add up to the total. The residential customers are quite a bit short of the total residential load, and that's because 25% of that is the PECO share. So of that 3163 megawatts, 25% of it will be served by PECO as the PECO share. The spot-priced default load also is in tranches. 138.8 megawatts for the small commercial, 165 for the medium commercial. So it turns out to 3.33% of the small commercial, 5% of the medium commercial. Again, residential doesn't have any spot price full requirements, only fixed price and the PECO share. And the large commercial and industrial will depend upon the opt-in process. There'll be load caps, and load caps represent the maximum number of tranches that an individual bidder can bid and win for each class. Load cap is a 65% value, and there are separate load caps for block energy RFPs and the full requirements RFPs. Now, the spring solicitation is only going to cover certain aspects of residential load. So we'll show the available tranches for the spring solicitation on this chart along with the applicable load caps. And for full requirements tranches, there's going to be 8 what we call one-year tranches, January 2011 to May 2012, 4 two-year tranches. The load cap will be 5 tranches for the one-year products, 2 tranches for the 4 two-year tranches that are being solicited this spring. And those are the full requirements, tranches that are available in this RFP, as well as the load cap. Now, in future solicitations, the load cap's a rolling concept, since it's going to be 65% of the load served at any one time. It will depend upon how much a bidder wins in this solicitation, what their load cap is in a future solicitation. Bidders who win very low levels or nothing may not have load caps in future solicitations that are binding. So load caps for the spring 2009 solicitation, as well as the available tranches, are as in the chart on this slide here below. Again, block energy is fixed megawatts, energy only. The supplier will have to just deliver energy to the PICO zone. It's going to comprise approximately 20% of the annual megawatt hour load of default service customers in the residential class, and that will be based upon a target of what that load would be expected to be. That's 20% of the entire class load would be bought as blocks. It will be used to serve that 25% PICO share of default service load. The bidders for block energy are bidding only to supply energy. RPM, ancillaries, AEPS, all will be required by PICO outside of the RFP. And the block supply is a constant quantity delivered to the PICO zone. It will have separate load caps. Blocks are going to be defined as 10 megawatts in size. And a bidder will face the same 65% of load caps with respect to block energy. So, again, the same thing will apply here. In future solicitations, the load cap will vary by bidder, and each bidder would receive a load cap based upon their prior experience and how much they are under contract to serve for the period. In the spring solicitation, there's going to be 4 10-megawatt blocks that are available, and they are going to be 2-year blocks of baseload power, January 2011 to December 2012. Remember, the blocks are calendar year, where the full requirements are phasing into PJM years. Load cap is 65%. So that means that of those 4 blocks or 40 megawatts, a bidder can bid and win on 2 blocks or 20 megawatts. Again, bidders are responsible for the AEPS requirements. So default suppliers are responsible for providing the AEPS credits during the term of the full requirements SMA. These can be purchased from qualified, alternative energy resources. A credit is equal to a megawatt hour of generation from that type of resource. And the bidders will have to supply the AEPS requirements in effect at the time of the solicitation. Currently, these are the requirements that are in effect from June 1, 2010 on for each of the PJM years. So obviously you'd have some sort of combination in here, since the contract would start in January 1, 2011, and they're divided into tier one, the tier one solar, and tier two. Now, prior to the procurement, PECO will have separately procured energy credits and is going to allocate AECs to each tranche. So the winners of tranches will receive an allocation of the alternative energy credits for each alternative energy portfolio standard reporting period. And under the SMA, a seller's obligation will be reduced by the number of AECs that they are allocated. So essentially, the seller will be initially charged with supplying these percentages, but as PECO announces an allocation, they'll effectively apply what's allocated to meet those requirements, and their allocations will be reduced. I think it's important to understand that any AECs allocated to the sellers should not be will not be transferred to the sellers. They're going to still be the property of PECO. And if due to extreme migration, the AEPS obligation for a reporting period is less than the amount of the AECs allocated to the seller, the seller would then be relieved of having to supply any additional AECs, but they won't be receiving AECs in excess of the requirement. So they won't be receiving those AECs to sell for their own account. Now, the allocation of separately procured AECs for this solicitation, and this, of course, only applies to the full requirement suppliers, for the 8 residential class tranches that run from January 2011 to May 2012, the following credits would be supplied. There'd be 1,280 for the first reporting year, and then 2,922 for the second reporting year. This is for the for those 17-month tranches. For the 4 tranches that run from January 2011 to May 2013, there'll be 1,280 applicable to the first reporting year. Remember, the suppliers will only be starting in January. In January of 2011, so they're only going to be serving a partial year, but they'll receive 1,280 megawatts hours of credit, and then 2,922 for the for the 12 months beginning 6/1/2011, 2,392 for the 12 months beginning 6/1/2012. So this will be reflected in the contracts and in the confirmation. The full requirements in Block Energy both have supply master agreements. There's a separate SMA for full requirements in Block Energy, but both contracts are standard for all suppliers. Contract is between the supplier and PECO. It's a wholesale contract. Final agreements are non-negotiable. And again, as part of that Part 2 application process, the bidder is required to submit a signed supplier master agreement. Quick overview of the credit requirements. The credit exposure to PECO is based upon mark-to-market calculations, net of accounts receivable and accounts payable to the seller. So the credit that a supplier would have to post with PECO or will be responsible for will be a mark-to-market-based credit. Credit suppliers will receive unsecured credit lines that depend upon a credit evaluation using criteria specified in the SMA, credit ratings, and tangible net worth. And they'll be able to use guarantors as well. For amounts of credit requirements or mark-to-market requirements in excess of the unsecured credit lines, they'll have to provide performance assurance in the form of a letter of credit, and that's attached as an exhibit to the contract. And as I mentioned briefly before, in the Part 2 application, bidders will be able to request changes to the letter of credit, non-material changes. Now, PECO will determine its default service rates as a function of the RFP prices. So for the residential class, those rates are going to reflect the price for fixed price default service, the prices for the blocks that PECO requires through the RFP process, and then the other components that go into serving the PECO share. The balancing spot energy, capacity, ancillary services will all be factored in to determine the default service rate for the R class. The rates for the small commercial and medium commercial determined really on the basis of the RFP for fixed price default service, then the RFP for spot price default service. And of course, the RFP for spot price default service is going to result in prices that change every month with the spot price. The additional components of rates, there'll be some administrative costs, and there are quarterly true-ups to reconcile revenue collection and the cost outlays. And you can look at the PECO's tariffs for further details on the rate setting. There's also rate mitigation plans that have been filed and approved. And for initial 12-month period beginning January 1, 2011, the large commercial and industrial customers can opt in, as we discussed, to fixed price default service. They'll have 30 days to do that. And then there's additional rate mitigation plans for various customer classes, and as soon as they're available, they'll be posted to the website. The rate mitigation plans will affect what customers pay to PECO. They do not affect what PECO will pay to suppliers. As I mentioned before, the default service load, one of the factors in determining that is the level of migration or customer switching. And shopping statistics as of March 31st of this year are showing on this page, ranging from, 0.2% for the residential and large commercial and industrial, 1% for mediums, up to about 13% for the small commercial class. Again, this type of data will also be updated on the website when new data becomes available.